Welcome back to Let the Quran Speak. In the past few weeks, we've been looking at the five pillars of Islam, and so we've been doing them one by one. We've come to the fourth, and the fourth is about fasting. So, Brother Shabir, maybe you can tell me what fasting actually entails for a Muslim, or what is actually meant by the fourth pillar of Islam being fasting.
Yeah. Well, as it is not near the month of Ramadan as we speak now, we can speak more generally about the manner in which fasting benefits a person overall. Fasting entails really staying away from food and drink and sexual intercourse in the daylight hours during the month of Ramadan, which is in the ninth month of the Muslim calendar. But fasting more generally can be done at any time of the year voluntarily by Muslims. It is recommended that one who really wants to get into this may fast on what are referred to as the full moon days, so the 13th, 14th and 15th of the month. One can also fast on Mondays and Thursdays, because it is reported that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, himself used to fast on Mondays and Thursdays because he said that the deeds are of a person are presented to God on these days, and he wants to be fasting at the time when the deeds are presented.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned eating, drinking, and refraining from sexual intercourse as well. Are those sort of symbolic of the sort of temptations that we experience in life?
Not only temptations, because temptations are many, but these are in reference to some of the most basic natural inclinations in a human being.
Okay.
As much as we're alive, we have the need to eat and to drink to sustain ourselves. We have the natural inclination to procreate. But in these things, we are similar to the rest of the animal kingdom in that they have the same desires, they have the same needs. If this is all that defines a human being, then how are we different from animals? What about the faculty of reasoning and intellect that we have a greater share of than the animals do? Shouldn't this be reflected in our character, in our being, in our way of dealing with the world and with other creatures of God? Definitely these should. I mean, the intellect should be reflected in what we do.
Mm-hmm.
But often we can see that people refuse to follow the intellect, and they succumb to the baser desires in a human being, the desire for food and drink and sex. People kill for these things. And if we can control these desires in us, if we can master these basic needs, controlling them and regulating them, well then we can give more of a chance for the intellect to rule us rather than to be ruled by our baser needs.
So are you saying that this is the main point of fasting then?
To me, this is one of the greatest benefits in fasting.
Okay.
You know, when God says in the Quran that he's giving you this institution of fasting, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ, so that you may be pious, or you may be aware, or you may
achieve self-righteousness.
Take heed. Yes. It can be translated in a variety of ways.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, one of the greatest ways in which this is manifested is in the willpower that the fasting person develops, the kind of control that the person achieves over his or her own self, the sense in the end that, yes, it's mind over matter. I have a mind, and I am matter, and my mind dominates and controls the matter that makes me up,
mm-hmm.
that I'm made up of.
Mm-hmm. This seems to be a sort of, it could almost be seen as a very selfish sort of desire to master one's own self. Are there other aspects of fasting that sort of connect with God?
Well, I want to comment on this perception that it might be a selfish desire to master one's own
okay.
self. But it is important that as much as we think about the world in general, that we also think about the responsibility we have to ourselves, because that translates on how we affect the world around us. If we turn ourselves into good citizens, then we become helpful to everyone around. And fasting helps to turn us into that sort of person that will be helpful to others. We spoke about the baser desires, in fact, producing harm to others, not only for the person involved. So if we control those basic desires, and if we channel our thinking and our actions towards making them beneficial towards other beings, well, then fasting will help us to do precisely that. In terms of the, more generally, how does the fasting affect others? Well, one of the things that many Muslims experience is that when they fast, they feel more sympathy towards those who are poor and hungry. Mm-hmm. Because the Muslim who is fasting is hungry by his or her own choice and in his or her own determined practice. But for others who might be hungry due to drought and famine and general poverty, it's not a choice. They just simply have no food. And the Muslim who is fasting has the opportunity here to, in a way, sympathize with those people and feel the same sort of hunger that the others do feel.
And what about the connection to God?
This is one of the ways in which fasting, in fact, benefits the individual, in that it brings the person close to God. When a Muslim is fasting, the Muslim remains continually conscious that he or she is doing this for the sake of God. And that brings into one's conscious awareness the continuing presence of God. And when one does this as a repeated exercise, eventually the imprint comes to be fixed in one's mind that God is very much a part of my own reality.
All right, thank you for that.
You're welcome.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we will look at the question of whether Islam is in need of a reformation.